I have an idea. We break it. You buy it. Because
Amazon.com is the enemy. Jeff Bezos is the enemy of the people. He smells like Seattle Spirit.
The city is firmly behind solutions. And I think if they see solutions working, they're going to support us in the solutions.
Solutions, 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 and data, 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 data. Some consultant told Jelly Durka, whenever you're talking about homelessness, say solutions, 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 and data, 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 data. That'll make the problem go away in people's minds. So let's say you you run a cemetery, you're on the board, and it's not homeless people, it's not people seeking help, it's not people trying to get into shelters, it's street people who want to steal your electricity and your water, want to have sex on the grounds of your cemetery, who've destroyed your cemetery, they've done over $250,000 in damages that you can verify, and you go to the city, and Ari Hoffman went through this, he joins us on the Todd Herman Show. Ari, you went to the city, and they have this thing online that's just sitting there for people to make, what's it called, a damage claim?
Damage claim form. They have it right online. You can just Google Seattle damage claim form and fill it out.
So it's sitting there, and they're telling people, look, if you've been damaged in the city, let us know, and we'll see if we can take care of that, right?
Exactly. That's right. Exactly what we did.
All right, so you went and you presented, and I've seen the documentation, and it's airtight. So talk about what you presented to the city, because you got your answer today from the city, which is not that much of a surprise, given that an attorney told you kind of what was going to go on. So what did you submit, and what were the damages?
So we submitted for everything that we believe was caused by city negligence and city activity, for lack of a better word, because they actively made some of these policies that created this problem for us. So it was clearing out trees in the area because prostitutes were working in the woods. It was repairing the damages from them hacking our utilities. It was repairing the damages caused by the RVs that had moved in that they refused to tow, that they wouldn't do anything about. All this damage caused by them, the drugs everywhere, the feces everywhere. This was all caused by their policies that enabled these street people to come to Seattle. And that's what caused it, and they're responsible for it. So because they're responsible for it, we went online, we found that damage claim form, we filled it out. I got a call from this gentleman, Rick, over at the city. We had a whole discussion about it, and he said, well, I can't really get into it because I got to talk to the city attorney about it first. And I said, shouldn't you be investigating it first? Find out all the details, find out if they're true. I could just be somebody who's writing whatever, but here's all the evidence. Let's just go through this. And he said, well, if we accept your claim, we have to accept everybody else's claim, too.
There you go.
So we knew it was going to be rejected.
Magic words.
As soon as he said that.
Right. We can't go around paying people for the damage we're causing.
Exactly.
So they long walked this, slow walked it for a little while, and they're probably trying to figure out what to do because they've learned a little bit of something about you and your synagogue. You don't sit and take things.
Exactly. When we got the armed security for the Memorial Day event, Kishama Sawant took that personally and had an anti-Israel event shortly thereafter on the city hall. On City Hall property, on the city's dime.
So do you connect those two?
I'm connecting those two, 100%, because there was no advertising for it before I had my head-to-head with her, and there was tons of advertising for it afterwards.
So you felt compelled because you had dangerous people, you had people shooting up, you had drug dealers, etc., on your property, that you felt compelled to bring in these armed guards.
Right? Absolutely.
To guard your synagogue and guard your property and guard your children. And they harmed no one, your guards. They just made sure that their way was clear for the day, because in your faith, you go out and clean the gravestones and you honor the people who've passed, correct?
Absolutely, all the time. And We're very, very serious about the dead in our tradition. There are certain people that can't even go into the cemetery because we treat it with such respect.
Yeah.
And we take this stuff very, very seriously. And the armed guards, they stood there. They're all former IDF soldiers. One of them is a local.
Yeah.
And they all do private security now. And they were there. One guy actually had a tactical vest on, and it had this patch on it that said, proud to be Jewish, with a giant Israeli star on the back.
Yeah. Good. Right. And you had gone down and spoken to the city council, and that's where you saw eye to eye. You looked Shama Sawant in the eye, or we call her the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant on the
show. It's a very apt name for her.
Yeah. I mean, that's her tactics. And it's all about her behaviors. She imports homeless people to act, as I see it, as muscle for her at these events. And they tried to kind of muscle folks out of the line and to fill the line. But before I get to this verbiage of this, the city saying, we're not going to pay for you, we're going to talk about what's next. Your experience of looking Bhagwan Shrill Sawant in the eyes.
You see evil. You see true evil. You look at a person who's looking at you with such disdain. How can I squash this person in front of me? That's how she was looking at me. It's seeing somebody who doesn't care about you, who hates you, who sees you as opposition to everything she believes in, and wants you gone. And you can tell by that statement she issued last week, that these are the people on the city council I like, and these are the ones I want people to run against. And it's interesting to see that she's encouraging people to run against the rest of the city council. So they no longer suit her needs, except for O'Brien, who she didn't encourage anybody to run against.
Right. And the fact is, if we had a good functioning Republican Party, they would run people without R's by their name and run through this hole, because she's going to drive a wedge. There's an opportunity there. You got leftist on leftist political violence. So why don't we drive a wedge through that? So you get this response from the city. You send this well-documented claim, and they said...
And they said, we're not taking it, we're not accepting it, because pretty much the city can do whatever damage it wants, and you can't sue us for it. It's a common city tactic across the country, really, to say the city can do whatever it wants, cause whatever damage it wants, and you can't hold us responsible. But then I ask, if we can't hold them responsible, why do they have a damage claim form online?
It's sort of a conundrum, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. I there's a couple of next steps I think would be really interesting. Is to get some examples through public document request of damages that have been paid.
Well, I'll give you something else, something better.
Yeah.
When I met with Bruce Harrell, and he said he would deny this if anybody ever asked him, he told me that I should sue the city, and that he used to sue the city before he became a city council person. So actually, I think somebody should go online and look up the cases of Bruce Harrell, that he said he sued the city on several occasions to get things he wanted in real estate. And he sets a prime example as the president of our city council, and we're just going to follow his example.
So you hope to sue the city council?
I think that suing the city council, they seem interested in settling with people over the things they do in backroom deals with the head tax or whatever else it is. So yeah. Maybe they'll settle with us.
Right. And if they don't?
And if they don't, we're going to go as far as we have to go to get this done. I have to take this to the synagogue. I have to go through all the appropriate channels and all that. But I think that the only way this is going to get done is with a lawsuit. And I will work to make sure that none of the city council is going to be reelected.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who are now starting to get on that. I mean, there's a great big hole being punched in the wall of left is stupid. Now, if they refuse, they haven't come along and removed the street people. They haven't enforced your private property or anything. This has all been on you, right?
So it has been, with a little bit of an exception. The Seattle Police Department, especially Officer Gordon, Sean Whitcomb, have taken a personal responsibility. Officer Gordon takes breaks sometimes and parks in front of the cemeteries and just hangs out there.
Officer Gordon. Seattle Police Department.
Yeah, and I want to thank him for that.
Yeah.
That's something special.
And Sean Whitcomb, too.
Yeah, Sean Whitcomb checks in with me. All the time. And he says, how can we help? Hey, this happened. We heard this happened. They check in all the time. So they want to be doing what's right. They're being stopped by the city.
And I've heard this from cops, Ari. And of course, you know, Jason Rantz broke the story 2 weeks ago that Q13 then stole, that we have officers leaving in big numbers, and they're done. And these are mid-career, early career people. These aren't people retiring. They feel disrespected.
They've said this to me also, and I've spoken to other officers who left this municipality to go to other ones, because you have somebody like Sawant, who's completely anti them, who's calling them the devil every time she can. What do you expect them to do? You expect them to keep working for you? No, they're going to go somewhere where they feel appreciated, that they can do their jobs because they just want to help.
So are the RVs gone?
The RVs are gone, but they're around the corner. They're at another cemetery. They're behind a Home Depot nearby. They'll be back. And actually, what happened was, when the media pressure was at its height, they left. And then they got really resentful of the fact that we made the utilities non-accessible. So they smashed the tops off all the sprinklers in the cemetery because they had the locks on them. And we had to spend more money to fix that. So that's something we're going to add to this claim.
So when you block them from stealing your utilities... They enacted this revenge?
Yeah, and they spray painted the chapel. So it was really, really charming of them. That's a really mature thing to do.
Wow. Wow. Well, I appreciate you standing up. I always do. And I'd be interested in the next steps. If you decide to file a suit against the city council, we'd love to hear about that. And again, I want to thank the two officers who are doing the right thing and headed out to your place. And I've given Sean Whitcomb a bad time sometimes because he has to speak for these insane policies. But it makes me really happy to know that Sean is a guy. A lot of cops have told me, no, Sean's a good guy. He's in a tough spot. He's a good cop. He's in a tough spot.
They're great, great guys. And something I did for them as a way of repaying them is that National Night Out is coming up, when the city police, they close certain streets so you can have these block parties, kind of like a Take Back the Night event. And I told them that for all the police department events, we'll happily help them out with some of the bounce houses that we rent free of charge for the police department, just because of him and Officer Gordon's actions for this. So good for help you. Him out.
Good for you. Well, you guys stay safe up there. And Officer Whitcomb, Officer Gordon, you stay safe. Appreciate what you're doing or trying to do. You let us know and keep us updated. I'm sorry this got rejected. It shouldn't have been, but it's not a surprise. They told you then we have to pay everybody. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Todd Emmert Show will continue. We get into the live world of breaking news. Scott Pruitt is gone, and that's a mixed blessing. It's not fully a blessing, but he made some bad, bad, stupid, silly, dumb spending decisions. But he was on the right track with the EPA. And by the way, his scandals, his spending scandals, they will always pale in comparison to the blatant, blatant theft incurred or enacted by the Obama EPA and the corruption. Say whatever you will about the young man, Tom, our producer, but he's bringing the bumps. Before we get into the national news and notes on our last segment, text line is open, 800-465-8770. Hey, Todd, could you please quit calling homeless people, street people? That sounds a little too gross to me. Just call them what they are. Vagrants. That's what I call them. Vagrants. I hope they all leave the city. From 0559. Now, I get where you're coming from, but look, vagrancy describes people who don't have money. They don't have money in their pockets, and that's really true of homeless families. You know, and they are ones we need to concentrate on helping, and kids and homeless people who've encountered homelessness. Street people is a very good phrase because it refers to people who get jazzed out of living on the street. And look, there are people who are like this. I've told you before on the show. I had a friend who was a street person. His name was Dan Rickard. He liked it. It was a feeling of jazz for him. He liked living on the edge. He liked sort of not following, he liked specifically not following the rules. There are people who get jazzed by stealing bicycles and living outside of the system. And some folks call themselves feral humans. I'm going to say it till the day I die. I get it. I understand the instinct. So we just have to be honest with ourselves. Those folks don't just steal utilities and bikes, etc. They steal services from people who need them and want them and will take them. Does it mean that I don't love a street person? No. I loved my friend Dan. I was very sad when he died. He got himself, killed himself on the street over time. So when I use that phrase, street people, it doesn't impart a lack of love. It's just a presence in reality. You don't get to stay here and steal. You don't get to stay here and shoot up drugs. You don't get to stay here and cook up meth. You don't get to stay here and break into people's homes. That's not an act of being unloving. It's an act of being someone who says, look, we've got to make a tough choice. And the choice is here between the freedom of the taxpayer or people who choose to live as a feral person. It's that easy. Let's roll into this.
As we speak, the Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
So Scott Pruitt is out at huge hopes for Scott Pruitt. He did many of the right things at the Environmental Protection Agency, starting with stripping back the flat insanity of what Obama's EPA had done. I mean, the biggest sign of the corruption of Obama's EPA, two things. Sue and settle, which is why Gina McCarthy and Lisa Jackson had nom de plumes, fake names they used at the EPA. I believe Lisa Jackson's was Richard Windsor. That was the fake name of one of them. Richard Windsor. That fake person won an Employee of the Month award, by the way. They used those emails so that they could conduct business with leftist land grabbers and use a sue and settle technique. And here's the game. Hey, if you sue us over enforcing this statute on this land, we'll settle and you can basically own the land. You can seize the land. It's a huge scam. That's one of them. The other is going out to farms in California and other states and having an EPA administrator say,
that looks like a navigable waterway. You can't grow almonds there.
Those are tracks from our tractor filled with water.
Well, I'd say that's a navigable waterway of the United States. You can't grow almonds.
But Scott Pruitt's weird, self-defeating spending caused him to resign. The president needs to pick someone with the exact same willingness to right-size the Environmental Protection Agency so that it does its job, which is a thin job. Thin. And it's become far too thick and far too activist. But someone who gets it, you don't get to do this. Yeah, Lisa Jackson and their EPA, they got away with expensive travel. We all know Obama got away with flying in a pizza chef from Chicago to cook pizza for he and Michelle's date night when there's, you know, I've checked and there's pizzas sold all the time in D.C. Yeah, there's pizza places there. I know it's new, but I guess Obama didn't know. But we know that the media's going to treat this differently. So at least he resigned and we didn't have to be fired. Rolling also into the national news, the assault continues on the whole idea of President Trump getting to nominate a judicial nominee. Michelle Goldberg is a columnist with the New York Times. She has an interesting argument to make.
It's really unfair to blame the Democrats. I mean, this is Kennedy betraying the country.
An 81-year-old man retires. It's a betrayal. He's retiring. You know what? The man might be ill. God forbid he is. He's 81. He might be sick of going to work. He's 81. He might realize he's slowing down mentally. I'm not saying he is. But he's 81. People retire. At least it's not this clown, Richard Painter, shared this with you last week. He wants an investigation into Kennedy retiring. Should they force him to stay while we investigate that? Also on MSNBC, this woman, Zerlina Maxwell. She just can't stand one of the president's judicial nominees.
His list is all people who we have an understanding are in opposition to Roe. You know, Amy Barnett went to Notre Dame. She is very Catholic. She had a famous moment with former Senator Al Franken during her hearings about how she spoke essentially to a hate group without really understanding the full context.
Yeah, so the hate group this liar mentions is the Alliance Defending Freedom. They're the ones who defend people like cake bakers from being forced to bake the cake. They're the ones who defend women from having to have grown men in their showers or girls having to have grown men in their showers. Such hatred that women should be allowed to shower with other women and not with naked men. Hatred, pure hatred. Jim Jordan is being attacked. I got to speak to Jordan the time before last at a host for Rush. And I didn't know this, but apparently he was a big time wrestler and a former wrestling coach at Ohio State. So now there's an allegation 10 years old that Jim Jordan was aware of some form of sexual harassment that was going on in the team, but that he did nothing. Jordan has responded to this. It's sort of an impromptu questioning by the press.
The timing makes you wonder. All I know is it's not true. If there nothing that is said about me was true.
10 years this has gone by. I don't know if it's true. I believe Jim Jordan. I believe the 10 years has gone by. And I know that Jordan is now announcing that he does intend to run to be Speaker of the House with Paul Ryan stepping down. Now, speaking of the Supreme Court, this may be a battle we want over Amy Barrett's Catholicism. It may be a battle we want. May not. Digging to both sides, we come back on the Todd Herman Show. I think the president wants this battle. I think the president wants to have it out this way. She's the judge I'd like. There's some others on the list that I get real afraid that they might turn into a John Roberts and find this strange new respect for the government saying, oh, that's not a tax. Well, you don't have the ability. You're not legally allowed to levy fines.
Oh, well, then that's a fine.
And such. Post coming in 3, 2, 1. No post! Left one. The post is where the music builds up. He hits a sort of mini crescendo there, young Tom. Other than that, good effort. Thank you. There is, let me get to these texts first. 800-465-8770. We're talking about, once again, debating the term for street people. Can I just announce an executive decision? On the show, there are homeless, hardcore homeless, and there are street people. That's the executive decision. Feedback from the text line, 800-465-8770. Hey, Todd, there's something about the term feral human being that makes me angry as applied to street people, because there's nothing feral about relying on the efforts of others for one's existence. A true feral animal is self-reliant, living by its wits and cunning, not on the effort of others. Keep up the great work. This is your pal, Alf. Thank you, Alf. I agree with you, by the way. That's what I say. I can understand wanting to be a wild human being. You have no idea how much I can understand wanting to be a wild human being. You have no idea. But that wouldn't involve stealing from other people. Now, to the topic at hand, and that is the Catholicism of one of the president's judicial nominees, Amy Coney Barrett. I think this is a fight worth having. Now, I was listening earlier to Michael Medved on the pragmatism of let's win this. Let's bring someone in like Kavanaugh, who's very, as I understand it, very, very good on the Second Amendment. Text line 2207. I'm a Second Amendment guy, so I like Kavanaugh. He ruled against an assault weapons ban. Yep. This fight is not going to be about Amy Coney Barrett. It's going to be about the Democrats' hatred of people who, now listen closely, practice their faith. They have no problem with people like Nancy Pelosi who fancy themselves Catholic. So Nancy fancies herself a Catholic, even though she disagrees and, in fact, hates the canons of the Catholic Church. Now, by my understanding of the canons of the church, she has excommunicated herself multiple times. So you could regard her as a lapsed Catholic. In fact, I think you must regard her as a lapsed Catholic. They love lapsed Catholics. They love them of all stripes. There's a lot of Democrats who are lapsed Catholics. They went at Coney Barrett before, and they went after her faith. Americans don't like this, and it really is an opportunity, if the president and his team were to play this really well, to rip the mask off of these people further. Remember Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein, talking about her belief that people who are religious, we can't make decisions outside of our faith.
I think whatever a religion is, it has its own dogma. The law is totally...
You think? Wow. So let me really just consider that, Dianne Feinstein. You think a religion has its own dogma? That's some revolutionary thought.
I think whatever a religion is, it has its own dogma.
Wow.
The law is totally different.
Yeah, okay. All right. We agree. Does Amy Coney Barrett disagree?
And I think in your case, Professor... When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country.
Dianne Feinstein, you operate in a party with a dogma that says money solves everything. You operate in a dogma that says feeding people subsistence income is a good idea. Telling people this is what you could expect for your life. Subsistence, survival level living is a good idea. That's part of your dogma. You come also from a dogma, and it's clear in your questioning here, and this is why I think we want the fight. Is a Catholic who actually practices their faith, like Amy Coney Barrett, is she somehow less able to view things neutrally than a Catholic who does not practice the faith, say Nancy Pelosi? And are religious dogmas somehow more potent in making political decisions than a political dogma? I would argue not. A religious dogma or religious practices are about a spiritual construct and how we interact with the Almighty and about how we treat people and how we live our lives. It is perfectly rational that people who practice a faith can read the Constitution or the Bill of Rights and say, man, I wish that was not the case. Let me give you an example. If you're a Quaker, I think it'd be easy for you to look at the Bill of Rights and go, wow, I really wish we hadn't enshrined gun ownership in the Bill of Rights. I am a Quaker or I'm a pacifist, and I really, really wish that wasn't there. But there it is. It's right there. The words are very clear. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And therefore, though My faith may disagree. Mine doesn't. I'm very much, obviously, as you know, in favor of the Second Amendment in the strictest form, in the most overwhelming form. But a Quaker, for instance, could say that's unfortunate, but it's there. Now, a political operative or someone who buys into political dogma, part of their dogma is this. Dead white men wrote that. They were all racists. They all hated black and brown people. They were misguided, and it's gone further. Now the dogma in the Democratic Party is all of the first 10 amendments, every single one of them applies to individuals or the state, which are a makeup of the individuals, except for the Second Amendment. Only that amendment applies to the militia. Further, all of the original 10 amendments place limits on government power, save the Second Amendment, which gives a monopoly to the government on power of force. None of that can pass the smell test. But their dogma is attached to their legal decisions. Whereas an Amy Coney Barrett, her dogma or her religious belief or her deeply held religious views, they are not held to political decisions because those are outside the realm of her faith. But that doesn't get into the heads of people like Dianne Feinstein. I think we want this fight because I think we want to point something out. You're perfectly fine with a bunch of lapsed Catholics. You're perfectly fine with Catholics who don't follow the church's teaching because politics has overwhelmed their faith. Because your religion, Dianne Feinstein, your religion, your true religion, Nancy Pelosi, is the state. Dick Durbin asked a question of Amy Coney Barrett back in the day.
What's an Orthodox Catholic?
As I recall, said something like, for lack of a better term, we're using the term Orthodox Catholic, and there was a long footnote saying, you know, that that was an imperfect term, but what that term was designed to capture, because we were talking about conscientious objection, was a judge who accepted the church's teaching that the death penalty would be impermissible in that case.
So there's a judge that could accept that. Does that mean Coney Barrett has to accept that? Right, and they went on and had this discussion, Durbin and Barrett, about the Pope and Catholicism.
There are many people who might characterize themselves as Orthodox Catholics who now question whether Pope Francis is an Orthodox Catholic. I happen to think he's a pretty good Catholic.
See, I agree with you.
And Durbin wants to review the Catholic he likes because he has this taste for the way Francis views the world. None of this is a problem, except for this. The Democrats are going to do anything they can to make actual observance of the actual canons of the Catholic Church a bizarrity, a strangeness. Our opportunity in this battle is to let them rage. Our opportunity is to let them lift the mask and show that their obsession with collectivism, their obsession with owning the mechanics of corruption, owning the levers on the corruption machine, their obsession to those mechanics override their human decency. Because here's the thing. Americans of all backgrounds have friends of all religious faiths. I have a friend of mine who is a Scientologist. And look, she is a person of great, great intelligence. I disagree with her faith. I have deep concerns about her faith. I have huge concerns about her faith. But does that mean that I can't have respect for her? Likewise, there are people, Christians and Jews and Muslims, who get along together. That's the predominance of America. The predominance of America is to say to your kids, oh yeah, our friends, they happen to be polytheists. They believe in a couple of gods, many, many gods. Here's why we disagree. For instance, with polytheism with me, I don't observe a world in chaos all the time, which would mean to me that what would happen if you got a bunch of equally powerful gods fighting amongst themselves, I think you'd have utter chaos. I don't see chaos, not in the physical world, not in terms of a mathematically managed and controlled world, not at all. I'm open to those conversations. Most of America is open to these conversations. So let the Democrats rage. Let them show their hatred for someone who actually observes their faith. And then just run some ads with Nancy Pelosi crossing herself as she votes for abortion. And say, what's the difference between a Nancy Pelosi Catholic and an Amy Coney Barrett Catholic? Oh, yeah, this. Nancy Pelosi is in the team. Amy Coney Barrett isn't. You know what America loves? An underdog outsider. This is the Todd Herman Show. We'll come back with just a few more things. A quick arrangement of news like items laid out into a patent-pending audio feng shui mode. Don't you dare think about violating that patent. I've got so many lawyers. Well, I don't have any. Not a lawyer on that. But I swear I'll find one. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Before we roll into just a few more things, a text message on our last topic, which is the, I think in some ways, welcome attack from the bigots in Congress who are on the left to go after Amy Coney Barrett's religious faith. 6341. So if a Catholic being a, Catholic being a dominant religion in society, including the religion of most Hispanics, wouldn't she have a unique perspective towards being sympathetic to the majority of people in this country for that background? That was the same argument used for Sotomayor when she became a justice. Because of her background, she had a unique ability in, towards compassion for people from her background. Yeah, that was a huge argument that was made. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, it's a great point. But of course, Sotomayor and others, they have a faith. Their religious faith is the state. And it's beyond the state. In the case of Sotomayor and Kagan, they've revealed that their faith is in their brains. They know best. The words on the paper just don't matter. Speaking of words on paper,
just a few more
we
things.
We take news-like items, we lay them out into an audio feng shui mode, but we number them, lest people get confused and angry and upset and experience angst and worry. Because it can be very confusing. Hence, we do this.
Thing one.
So you remember this moment from the John Adams movie? Man, I hate that movie. No, no, I understand. I love the movie. I love the book. But I hate that movie because it's what inspired me to go give up 72.9% of my soul working in Washington, D.C.
We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown.
Yeah, one of the greatest times I've ever had in my life was being in a colonial Williamsburg when that was read. No, not back then, but now. I mean, a few years ago. My daughter, for the longest time, called it Colonial Columbusburg. Of course, that was from the movie John Adams reading an announcement of the Declaration of Independence. The Facebook algorithm. Facebook algorithm. Flagged that as hate speech. Blocked it. Newspaper in Texas had been publishing it. The Liberty County Vindicator of Liberty County, Texas. Publishing this in serial form. Facebook flagged it as hate speech. Probably the phrase Indian savages set that off. But at the same time, on Facebook, how many videos and posts called you Hitler? Weird. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing two.
Now, a series of people saying a series of things about something that's going to cost the Democrats dearly. The numbers of American people who favor a secure border versus an open border. 74% in favor of a secure border. Who did the poll? Harvard. Cory Booker. Should we abolish ICE?
What do you say to people that are saying that, including the president, that says that that's absolutely crazy to come out and say something like
that? Well, what's crazy is an administration that has policies that even Republicans criticize, not just separating families, abolishing DACA and making dreamers who only know this country insecure.
So let me translate for Cory Booker. There's no way I'm answering that. Let me just sit forward, look at you with my beautiful eyes because he's a good looking man. And get all sincere. What's crazy? Sis. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing three.
I hadn't heard of this guy before. Maybe I had. No, I don't think I had. A Democratic representative. Listen to him dance with himself, box himself, argue with himself in a time span of 24 seconds. His name is Representative Raul Grevalia. Should we abolish ICE?
Do you think ICE should be abolished?
Yeah, I think we've reached the point. And abolish is, the nomenclature that we're dealing with right now. But certainly, I think, as Mr. Pocan Bills asked for, a commission to study, to audit, to look at mission, and to look at how we restructure.
Isn't abolish and audit quite different?
Yeah, well, they're quite different. But
want to be nailed down here. I've read the polls. I don't want to anger the insane base, and I'm going to say I want to abolish. And then when I say abolish, what I mean is, of course, remake. And when I say remake, I actually mean do away with, but in a sense that we'll study it and come up with a new configuration, which is really just a way of abolishing it if you think about it. It's tearing them apart. American people, they get it. You can secure your borders and be compassionate. In fact, that's how to be compassionate. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing four.
An Arkansas Democrat, darn the luck, forgot this guy's name. He's asked, should we abolish ICE? He's probably the only honest person in this whole arrangement.
If you agree with the stance most recently supported by Senator Gillibrand to abolish ICE.
I have not had a chance to look at that. I don't know what it is.
So. Okay. She was just saying that she'd like to see ICE abolished. I was just curious where you stand that way.
That's not something I've spent any time thinking about. I don't have any information about.
Probably the only honest guy in this. What? Are you nuts? Basically what he's saying. Last up, just a few more things.
Thing five.
On MSNBC, Kumar, I don't know who this person is, talking about the president's immigration policy. Good thing there's no overstatement. No attempt to incite violence on MSNBC.
This is a strategy of base of a sort of ethnic cleansing, and we're in the beginning of it.
Wow. Ethnic cleansing?
This is a strategy of base of a sort of ethnic cleansing, and we're in the beginning of it.
Huh. So enforcing your border is sort of the beginning stages of killing folks because of their race. I am not familiar with that interpretation of it. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. I have a bad, bad, bad feeling about what Secretary of State Kim Wyman's going to do with the illegal gun initiative.